And he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here again a few verses from today's Old Testament lesson from Numbers 11. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servants? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou should say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father bears the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. So far the way. In the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior and Lord of the Church, dearly beloved. This is not your vintage Moses that you see in this text. Think for a moment of the greatness of this man. This is the one whom the Lord had personally recruited to lead his people out of bondage to Egypt. One of the greatest events in the history of God's people. This is the lawgiver whose face shone after standing in the very presence of the Almighty. This is the man described frequently as Moses, servant of God, man of God, mentioned in almost half the books of the Bible, a type of Christ, all kinds of parallels between his life and the life and ministry of our Lord, mentioned as one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews, appears long after his death with our Savior on the Mount of Transfiguration. How can we say too much about him? And Luther writes of him and says, Moses is the fountain from which the holy apostles and prophets and apostles drew divine wisdom by means of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we cannot devote our efforts to a better and more proper purpose than to lead our people to this fountain. Yet here Moses is different. He's angry, despondent, crying, almost argumentative with God. Lord, do me a favor. Turn. Where's your father? If it were diagnosed today, the word that might be used to describe it is that worn out, burned out word. Burnout. Burnout in the wilderness. That's what this text is talking about. And let's see what happened and also how God responded. We ask the Spirit who caused also these words to be written for our learning would be with us to bless us. Listen to Moses' complaint. I am not able to bear all these people alone because it is too heavy for me. Too much. And in a way, the complaint of Moses is justified. You ever see such a chronic bunch of belly aches in all your life as the people of Israel? Right here, they were tired of the manna, and they wanted meat to eat. And their complaining was general and pervasive. We're told in verse 10, Moses made the people eat throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. Right now, they remembered the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks of Egypt, and they had conveniently forgotten the taskmasters and the brick kilns and the cock and the whip on their backs. And of course, this moaning was contagious, as we unfortunately find out sometimes even on a seminary campus. Grumbling begets grumbling. And it was typical. For 40 years, the Lord had to put up with their bad manners. They complained about food, about drink, about giants, about Moses and Aaron, about the desert, about God's judgment, about everything. So Moses had a right to be displeased, and yet his lament is unjustified. The one thing he seems to blame God for all this. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that you should say to me, carry them in the bosom? On and on and on again. However, Moses in his complaint forgot a lot of history. He forgot how often God had acted in previous situations that were far more serious than this one. Wasn't he there when God had sent down the plagues on the people of Egypt and let his people out? Wasn't he there when Israel stood backed up to the sea against an invading Pharaoh? And had he not seen the horse and the rider thrown into the sea? Wasn't he at the waters of Marah, so bitter and yet made sweetened by the hand of the Lord? How could he be surrounded by such a cloud of miracles and become so despondent and filled with grief? Well, we know that this disease is not an Old Testament disease, but restricted to the Sinai Peninsula. We do enough of our own crying to God, and sometimes we have a right to be displeased. God's people too fall short of the glory of God. So often law and gospel don't seem to have the impact on them that either we or God would desire. We too have the chronic complainers who probably are angry at God, and because they can't reach God, they lash out at us. And yet how often we forget the glory of our office and feel as if the weight of the whole world is resting on our shoulders. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. And we too sometimes imply that it's all God's fault. If we come from Colorado, what in the world are we doing in Mississippi? And can there any good thing come out of name your most unfavorite state? Lord, why have you saddled me with these incorrigible malcontents? And if we don't go as far as Moses did and ask the Lord to take our lives, we at least know the way to the district headquarters where we can tell the proper authorities that 9 months is all that we can do. We need to repent. We need to repent of the fact that whether it is in the pastoral ministry or wherever we are, we so frequently think so much more of the woes of the wilderness than of the pleasures of paradise, the heavenly kingdom. We need to repent of the fact that in our days of discouragement, we so often forget what a privilege is ours as servants of God like Moses to dispense the heavenly manna, so that the people can taste that the Lord is gracious and long-suffering, covering in Jesus Christ transgression and iniquity and sin. That leads us to the second part, and that's how God responded to this whole thing. He responded very kindly. He did not tell Moses to go out and write on the blackboard 100 times, "I will not complain." But instead, he told him to gather 70 men of the elders of Israel and said, "I'll come down and talk with you there, and I will take the spirit, which is upon thee, and you'll put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, but thou bearest not thyself alone." God knows any given time exactly what his people need. He always rightly divides long back. So here he gives Moses encouragement in the form of resources, people that will help him to bear the burden and make his burden somewhat lighter. And beyond all that, but behind all that is God's grace, his covenant with his people, his promise that he would indeed take them to Canaan and ultimately to the eternal and heavenly rest. And so the Lord also deals with us, even in our complaining. Yes, we need to hear the law, as we said, to lead us to repentance. But it is ultimately only the gospel that changes. People don't stop complaining because we say, "Stop complaining." It's the gospel alone that changes people.
The good news that lifts our souls and tells us that God loves us even in this hour. That he has laid upon Jesus the burden of all this people. His absolution. The assurance he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us offering? And that gospel not only sustains and revives us along the wilderness way, but it is also that which revives our people, sanctifies them in their commitment, purifies their soul to the transforming energy he takes these complainers and leads them to sing and shout and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It lifts up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. May that gospel be such power, produce such power in us, through us, always. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts